Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's the end of the day, so I'll try to be very brief, so please bear with me for the next 15 minutes, okay? Well, I'm happy to be here with you to present some of the fascinating work that APT Associates is doing in Georgia, the country, which probably a majority of you know is located pretty far from the United States in the Caucasus region. I don't have any relationships to disclose, so I will go into the main topics of the presentation. I tried to keep the slides of the presentation to minimum, so I'll try to cover all my speech verbally. This is a USAID-funded health system strengthening project that is led by APT Associates, as I mentioned. The mission is to strengthen the capacity of Georgian government to better monitor and guide the health reforms, as well as to expand capacity of private health insurance and improve the quality of care and safety. However, I should say that during the recent years, the focus of the project has shifted more to, providing technical assistance to the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs in terms of development of health management information systems. Well, I brought some quick facts for you about the health system in Georgia, which is a mix of state and private-funded schemes that currently covers 98.3% of the Georgian population. And you see that the total population number is 4.48 million. Well, there are a number of state-funded healthcare schemes, and there are different types of programs. There are health insurance programs, and there are just free healthcare programs. The health insurance program, which currently covers 1.5 million beneficiaries, started many years ago, and I'll be talking about that in a minute. And the new universal healthcare program was introduced several months ago, and it targets up to 2 million Georgian citizens for the moment. However, there are other state-funded healthcare programs as well, which are really targeted ones for, kidney transplantation and dialysis, for mental health illnesses, for cardiac surgery interventions, and so on. Well, you see the number of private voluntary health insurance beneficiaries is not much, not more than 650,000 roughly, and number of health insurance companies operating in the country for the moment is 12. Well, this numbers below may sound ridiculous as compared, for example, to U.S. scale, but Georgia is a small country, as you see, and I would say that sometimes it's has excess capacity. So currently the number of hospitals is 267, a number of PHC units close to 400, and number of rural doctors operating only in rural settings is 1,400. Well, under the PHC units, I would like to make a comment. I'm just mentioning complete PHC settings. However, there are some solo practices in the country as well, which also provide primary healthcare services. Well, just to give you a brief overview of recent health reform in the country, it started in 2006 when government first introduced the state-funded health insurance program for targeted groups, and these groups were internally displaced individuals, orphans, people under the poverty line, I mean the vulnerable groups, and and this program was expanded in 2008 to cover more than 1.5 million beneficiaries. 2009 is a very interesting year in reform history in the country because this is when a major shift happened from a centrally managed healthcare model to a very decentralized healthcare approach. In 2009, health insurance companies became the owners of medical facilities and they went into service delivery area as well. So at this point, health insurance companies were not only delivering health services, but also financing health services through fundings received from the government, from the state treasury. So it was a very, probably unusual approach, but that was the fact for 2009. Well, in 2012, there was a major government change, and the new team came with new ideas, new priorities, decided to regain its power to administer healthcare programs, and as a consequence, in 2013, new universal healthcare program was introduced, which is completely managed by the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs. So, as I mentioned, a universal healthcare program currently covers nearly 50% of the population, and the health management information system was extremely instrumental in its implementation, and I'll be touching these issues a bit later. So, what was the rationale for building the health management information system, and the list that you will find on the screen will not surprise you, I'm sure. Limited data for informed policy decision making. Even if data was available, the accuracy of data was questionable. System experienced reporting delays, submitted reports were largely inaccurate. Underreporting was also the case, which ultimately translated into delayed processing of submitted reports and consequently delayed payments to healthcare providers. No data quality and standardization issues, and the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs wanted to optimize its business processes, so that was also a key factor that was taken into account during the HMIS development process. Well, I will briefly touch the development process itself. It was the key, the concept development started in February 2010. The working group meetings were held a number of times. The team did research on international experience in this area. Consequently, the business process analysis was done at hospital, at the ministry, and at primary healthcare level. Our team also did a legislation review. Since some of the ideas offered into the concept could potentially come into contradiction with the existing legislation. Consequently, the business requirements document was prepared. Actually, we tried to put much emphasis on design and technical specification development level because prevent product rework and upgrades in the future that would save us a lot of resources, reduce the waste during our operations, and also shorten the lead time of the product development process. Well, what we did, we actually asked part of our team, the software development team, to literally sit into the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs. That dramatically improved communication and translated into short deadlines and lead times later on. Well, the next stages are typical testing and piloting and implementation support. We certainly provided enormous capacity building technical assistance to the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs. Of course, developed all user materials, including video tutorials and manuals. I will not stay much on this slide. I think it's self-explanatory. This is just a list of data generated by the health management information system in Georgia. It generates data and information for policy and financing decisions about the health workforce, including their location, their distribution among facilities, their profiles, including academic background and legal litigation, if any. Similarly, about the health infrastructure, it provides information about equipment, number of staff, type of profiles, type of specialty services that hospitals are giving, about the pharmacies and the pharmaceuticals. The data generated is really comprehensive as well, starting from clinic pharmaceutical information to pharmaceutical product prices in different networks. We actually can track pharmaceutical products from the very first entry, which is customs, till the very last point into the distribution channel, which dramatically facilitates product recalls in case of counterfeiting or other circumstances. Well, let's go to the next slide. Before going into conclusions, I would like to give you a couple examples of some of the components of the system. Well, I should say before that the system is very much integrated, meaning that the information is exchanged between the components of the HMIS internally as well as externally. For example, every citizen is validated into the civil registry agency. Organizations are double-checked into the public registry agency. Similarly, we automatically exchange information with the state treasury to provide automatic payments to healthcare providers. There is an automatic connection with the customs department and revenue service as well. So some of the components which currently is 22 different components are being implemented and are operational for the moment. Two modules are under piloting and one is under development. And this happened during 1 year and a half almost. The first, I would like to discuss the information portal, which stores information about health facilities, medical services, their geographic distributions. It enables mapping of all the data that is entered. There are hospital and solo provider profiles created so that they go and update their information themselves. One of the key advancements in terms of data generation was that now through this information portal, government and the Ministry of Labor, Health and Social Affairs actually has a real-time information about free bed capacities available at various hospitals, free mechanical ventilators available, which is a major, major advancement, because earlier, for example, ambulance would go back and forth between two different facilities. They would lose valuable, precious time that would negatively translate into patient outcomes later. So this is one of the greatest achievements, we believe. And certainly this system will is currently updated to incorporate ambulance services as well, so that we track their movement across the country. But most importantly, the primary goal of this product was to empower the citizens to make informed decisions. Now every citizen in Georgia can go to this portal, find a healthcare facility closest to its location, check if that particular facility provides desired services, what are the prices, similarly for pharmaceutical products. So it really facilitates and I would say facilitates their access to healthcare facilities, and they make informed decisions as they have free choice to choose the provider they would like to go. Well, the next is about the electronic reporting for health insurance companies. I just put this component just to show you that health management information system is not only about managing universal healthcare program. It covers all the components of the health system, in this case, private health insurance industry. It has dramatically increased the accuracy and timelines of reporting, has dramatically reduced, if not eliminated, the potential of fraud. And just to give you a small example, earlier, before the introduction of this system, it would take at least a month for insurance companies would submit their reports by the end of the month. Then the government would process these reports, and it would take quite a bit of time. If there were flaws or inaccuracies, these reports would go back to private health insurance companies. So this process would in total take, I would say, at least a month. So now this is a totally automated process, which takes less than a day, sometimes minutes, depending on the amount of information submitted. So you can imagine the dramatic improvement of administration and the increase of effectiveness. It has dramatically affected and improved the business processes on both sides as well. Well, and the last component I would like to discuss is the so-called finance and billing. Well, this is a very, very complex component which has many subcomponents, so I will try to briefly go through it. This not only registers the cases, but this system was built to incorporate the whole process of medical care from the onset of medical need till provision of payment to healthcare provider. Moreover, it helps us to control a patient insurance or other limits of their benefits, and of course accurately calculate the payments. And again, it has positively affected the efficiency and transparency, and has enabled the rollout of the universal healthcare program. Well, these are some of the figures about the coverage and impact. Maybe impact at this point is exaggerated. Before I go to discuss this particular slide, our colleague Mr. Lippenwelt has mentioned in his brilliant presentation, sometimes data and information is available, but they are not used. So actually, we were happy and proud to observe that data in our case was used, and I will give you a recent example. The other day, the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs, based on the data generated through the Health Management Information System, has actually revisited national cesarean section policy and decided to update and modify the policy and regulations because we have observed that cesarean sections were abnormally high in certain regions and there were certain attributes to that. So actually the data again generated through this health management information system acted as the basis for policy and decision making in Georgia. For the moment, 80% of hospitals and primary healthcare centers are part of the system. 100% of rural doctors, close to 40,000 doctors are registered in the system, and there are 7,000 active unique users, which is for Georgia scale is really, really high. A number of unique patients served you see on your screen, and the fiscal impact, for other countries, this it may not be a significant figure, but for Georgia, for the last 5 months, this is a pretty high number of payments and financial transactions provided through the health management information system. Well, as the final remarks, I would like to I should not have removed the last slide, but I will try to make a link of health management information system implementation and a reform process that we have discussed previously. The health management information system, we believe, was instrumental to support the government of Georgia through the transition process, since it generated strategic information that helped, that was the basis for policy and decision making. Currently, all the actuarial studies, for example, when government wants to set the price or, I don't know, measure the risks, the data is generated from this system. Ensured the continuity of business processes. What we did during this transition, we migrated all the historical information, so there was no interruption from old setting from the move from old setting to a new one. Well, it has equipped government with monitoring tools on hospital, primary healthcare, on patient care level, which is, we believe, instrumental because government, Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs currently in real time can monitor not only the management process but also some quality of care indicators as well. And finally, this system brought citizens into action. Citizens are informed about their benefits. Now they can go to various sites, enter their personal ID numbers, and get the information about their benefits. So where can they get their benefits? What are the limitations? And so on and so forth. So that was it briefly. I would like to pay your attention to our contact information in case you would like to get more details about the presentation, and would like to thank you for your patience. I know it's not been easy at the end of the day, but I really hope that you find my presentation interesting, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
I want to thank all of our presenters, but I think for those, I don't know how many students we have with us today, but we may have some students and maybe some starting early in your career. The take-home message from the big picture is that health information isn't something external. It's not something you add on to the health system. It is the health system, and each one of our presenters has given one piece of the importance of good data and then using it. And when you do, you're able to improve the health system. So I think thank you all very much for your presentations. They all fit very nicely in together. We have a few minutes until the next crowd comes in to ask some questions. So I think our presenters can stay for a few minutes. Any questions?
Can you please repeat the question, the last end of the question?
So you may have an investment in making the HMIS system maybe 2 years time frame. So by when do you think you're going to break even for the investment that has been put in putting that system together till the cost savings come in place? Or you see the cost savings of having a completely automated system?
It's a tricky question. Thank you for the question, first of all. It's a tricky to answer because, we are not we are just implementers and developers of the system. This is the USAID who makes the investments. It's been a year and a half that the program was that we started development of the program. We are currently launching new modules. I would say if we look at the system a year from now, this is the point where we can already start to observe the results of it. I should have mentioned this into my presentation. Probably I just wanted to save the time. Our project ends in 1 year from now, so currently we are working with the Ministry of Health to develop different scenarios of handover we do certain capacity building initiatives as well. So a year from now, Ministry of Labor, Health and Social Affairs will be completely responsible for the system. But however, it will be absolutely interesting to go back and assess the results. But the answer to your question is that probably this will be a year from now, if it answers your question. Okay. Very good question. There are two limitations for the implementation. One of these is poor infrastructure in some of the areas. However, all hospitals are well equipped with the computers and internet networks. We certainly need internet because everything is web-based and they don't need to install anything on their computers. Largely, all primary healthcare facilities are equipped with computers as well. However, we still have a gap in rural settings. As you might have noticed, there are 1,400 rural doctors in the country. Close to 900 rural doctors have computers and some sort of internet devices for the moment. This was an intervention by the European Commission. They distributed these computers free of charge. So this is actually what the government is trying to tackle for the moment. So that's why the major focus at this point is set on relatively advanced healthcare providers, which are PHCs and hospitals. However, rural doctors, sometimes they do a group practice. So when there is one computer, there are five doctors, so they use it one after another. But this is one of the limitations for implementation, as you have very well noted. Yes. As I have mentioned, the project ends in a year from now. Currently, the project is working in close collaboration with the ministry to develop sustainability plans, how this product will be handed over to the ministry and how it can be maintained and developed in future. Actually, there are two components. There is capacity component and there is financial component, funding, actually. We certainly did our best to build in-house capacity within the ministry so that they can technically maintain and develop the system in future. However, funding is a gap for the moment. We can only recommend certain scenarios, but it is really up to the Ministry of Labour, Health and Social Affairs to think of potential sources of future funding and maintenance of this project. Thank you.
Okay, and the question was about the regulation of bringing in the pharmaceuticals. And I have to say it's unfortunately a very unregulated system in general. Of course, our goal, in the group that I have worked with, is always to get out as soon as we can. We don't want to be, you know, in any of these countries and be a necessary component of the healthcare structure. But the reality is a lot of these countries where teams are going, it's not officially sort of recognized, regulated. If that answers, yes?
I have a question for you as well.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I thought it was really impressive what you went in and what you did. Going in through multiple partners. I was wondering, you noted that there are so many missions, medical mission trips to Haiti. Have any of those groups tried to band together to try to track pharmaceuticals that are coming into the country as a whole, and maybe where there's overstocks in one area shared to another? Is there any kind of overall organization or communication between
them? Wouldn't that be a nice next step? And again, for ultimately, the day we can and we work with we're working in developing relationships with the Ministry of Health and working through the proper channels and getting there. But to coordinate these teams, is there any movement? Not that I'm aware of. There are so many for any, you know, again, of you who've done this kind of work, or in particular to Haiti because of its proximity to the United States, although we were involved during the quake and post-quake. As far as official getting groups together to redistribute. We are actually, a group that I work with is starting to make more alliances and developing relationships with some groups, but I will say on whole, there is very little, I don't think everybody realizes what everybody else is doing. You go out and sort of do your own thing, and that's a real problem. There's you know, a lot of independently functioning you know, groups out there. So we're there committed to what we're doing. You know, I will just again speak for what I know that the people I work with and what we're doing, and partnering with some. But as far as the actual physical redistribution of pharmaceuticals not used and such, then hopefully the goal would be to have each clinic managed well enough that's you know, to eliminate that you know, that problem. But no, there's not great networking set up.
I'm a little concerned about the system set up in Georgia. When you talk about working with the government to sustain the system, are you talking about financial sustainability or are you talking about system sustainability? Because my understanding is that if we are working with such a system, an important system of health information, I think the sustainability plan or issue should have been from the very onset, so that the government takeover can, you know, can be very clear at the end of the project. So are you talking about human capacity sustainability or financial sustainability?
A brilliant question, and the answer is both, of course. Not only we talk about human capacity sustainability and financial, we also, and actually this document is being finalized and should be agreed with the ministry soon, we also look at some of the key health system functions so that ensure their sustainability when the project is handed over to the ministry. Yes, certainly there will be some technical assistance needs during the first phase of the handover, and we plan to provide that technical assistance to the ministry at the, very beginning, so that they can go on their own in future. But we look at both aspects, what you have mentioned. Unfortunately, we do not have much control over financial sustainability. Again, we can only recommend the ways how ministry can find sources, define ways or approaches how to make it sustainable. This is not a small problem, by the way, because normally starting from human capacity, which is employed in this sector, is very highly paid, which governments normally cannot afford to maintain and keep this staff. So this is one of the key points that now we are trying to tackle in collaboration with the Ministry of Health.
If no more questions, I'm going to close the session. If our speakers can hang around for a few minutes, maybe you can carry on the conversation. But again, I thank you very much, and I thank the panel again for a very interesting and diverse group of presentations.